All right, this is the start of the podcast. Chase's book is Little Brother, and mine is The Five People You Meet in Heaven. All right, so the first question. How realistic was this book?
It didn't feel like something that would happen in real life.
Yeah.
You know, but what the characters do in the book, it felt like something that if this were to happen, mm-hmm. there would be people that would do it. Because of, like, a group of kids who have to, like, take down Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
After they're completely taking control of San Francisco after a terrorist attack. So, and then they go and they try to take them down, and they eventually do.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would definitely happen in real life, because there's always those people that don't want to follow the rules and want to do the right thing.
Like, what's happening in America right now?
Yeah. Yeah. With the riots in the Capitol storm.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Crazy.
How original and unique was your book?
I think my book was, like, I don't read too often. Like, most of the time when I do read, it's when teachers ask me to. Like, and I don't deny, like, oh, I'm not going to read. I read it. And out of all the books I've read, this one, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, it was just really good, in my opinion. Like, it was only 200 pages, but the 200 pages were, like, it was so good. It really made you feel for each character.
I don't read very often, but I do when they ask me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, next question. Well, how was your book's length?
I feel like it was a good length. There was like, it was like 360-ish pages. There was definitely a lot of detail in there, and there was some things that maybe could get cut out because they're kind of just like,
it was too long and it was kind of filler.
Yeah. Like, there's one part where he was telling a story about him used to dress up as a vampire, and role play as a vampire. I kind of just skipped that part because I didn't really want to read that part. Yeah. It's kind of weird, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, just not too many parts
that get
cut out. What?
It wasn't too interesting?
No.
Yeah.
The book was decent, in my opinion, but it wasn't like one of those books that I would read in like one night.
Yeah.
It was one of those books that I'd have to read over time.
Mm-hmm. It didn't really pull you in.
And
you too much, but, okay, I see.
Yeah.
Right.
Where in the book would you like most to visit?
So the book takes place in a place called Ruby Pier. And basically, it's just this small amusement park, sort of. And it's right by the beach, so it's basically just a small Santa Monica Pier. That's really all it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it also seemed like a really quiet place. Like, if it wasn't during the summer or anything, it was actually quite calming, because there wouldn't be very many noise. Like, the rides would still be going on, but it's just, if I lived there, it'd be just really nice. It'd also be a really nice place to visit, because, again, it's just calming. It just seems like a calming place.
It's a small vacation spot?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Next question. Which character in the book would you like to meet?
I think I'd most likely meet Marcus, the main character in the book, just because, I don't really have, like, a good reason for it. Just none of the other characters seem, like, super interesting to meet.
He's the most fleshed out character?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. The teacher, our Miss Hothy, is talking to some students.
Right. Yeah, he just feels like, because he's, like, the main character, so he was, like, mainly focused on. Like, there's this one good character named Daryl, but he got took prisoner and he wasn't in the book till, like, the end of it.
Yeah.
So he just got completely wiped from the book.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think Marcus definitely feels like the best person to meet, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, he feels like
the most interesting, the most you can relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
he is the main character.
Yeah.
So, the main character isn't interesting. It's sort of like, why bother?
Yeah.
So
there's just some other characters that are there for like character development for the main character and stuff. If you could hear the same story from someone else's point of view, who would it be?
Oh, if I could hear the same story, the second person he meets is actually, I think it's his captain from when he served in World War II, and I'd really love to see how, because when he talks to Eddie, or the main character, he tells you, like, so many things that happened, and it just hits you hard, because Eddie gets angry at the at his captain, and for good reason too. But then you learn the things the captain did, and how he sacrificed his life, so that Eddie and the rest of his squad could go back home and live, even though he did leave Eddie with a scar, a huge scar, basically making it so that one of his legs are permanently damaged for the rest of his life. And medicine and whatever being back then, they didn't have the technology to be able to, you know, fix the bone and everything. So he lives the rest of his life with one leg that just doesn't work too well. So.
Yeah.
What other titles might you choose for your book?
This feels kind of cheesy, I guess, but, like, Overwatch. Because, like, the main characters, our main character in the book, they use a system called the XNet, which is, like, an encrypted version of the internet.
Yeah.
That they can use so they can't be tracked and tracked back to them. And I guess Marcus overwatches the city because the antagonist in this book, he or she, like, put up like a lot of security and stuff like that. She made a prison that wasn't allowed to be there. It was a legal prison, and it was holding a bunch of people, and they stopped people and accused them of being terrorists for having like abnormal travel patterns. So it was just constant, like, people getting pulled over and stuff like that. I think that's
right down for that. Oh, it's fun. Right.
What feelings did the book evoke for you?
For me, for each different person he meets, it invokes different emotions. Like, the first one, it's sadness. Second one, it's pity. The third person he meets, it's basically, it goes on, and it's like pity, guilt, sadness, anger.
Like some of the sins, sort of?
Not really, but it's just the different people he meet teach him different lessons, and those lessons, like, so that he lets go of what, like, makes humans, you know, like, humans, so that when he does go to heaven, he doesn't feel the need that he did anything wrong. He did, he feels that his life is incomplete. Yeah, it's good though.
Makes sense.
So you're just using the terrorist to get Okay, good boy.
If you were to write a fanfic about this book, what would you write about?
I'd write it about what happened to Daryl in the prison, because when they eventually rescued him, he was super beaten up. He was super emotionally scarred and physically scarred. And he went through a lot, but they never didn't say a word about what happened to him. They just said what the aftermath of him was. So yeah, I think I'd write it like about
like what happened to him.
Yeah.
Go more in depth.
Like, yeah, and how they tortured him and stuff like that. Yeah. Did the book seem realistic to you?
Yes, it did, especially the second part, because it takes place in World War II, and it's in the Philippines. And at the end, and the reason the captain has to do what he does to Eddie, is I looked it up, and it's called combat stress reaction. And the captain basically tells him that, like, he's seen people mid-fight or mid-firefight, mid-battle, whatever. They'll just put down their weapons, and they just stop. They're like, it's just, they don't want to fight, they don't want to do anything. They just sit there. And when, because Eddie and his squad, they're kept as prisoners of war, and they're forced to mine. And one of their squad members is actually killed during this by the people they keep, who are keeping them prisoner. And it's just really, it sucks to read about, because it obviously happened. And then, sorry to get into spoiler territory, but when after, because the captain has to shoot Eddie in the leg or else he's going to run into a burning building to save someone he believes he sees. And he shoots him in the leg. They carry him into a truck. The captain gets out to move forward for them so that they make sure they have a safe path. And the captain hears a click, and then he's gone. He stepped into a landmine that was placed, and he's just gone like that. Like, no ceremony or anything, just he's dead. He's gone. So that his squad could live. And it wasn't even on purpose, too. Sort of on accident, but...
Oh, so he... Like, this wasn't in heaven, right? This is what actually happened to him in real life?
Yeah, this is what actually happened to him. That's how he died.
Oh, so he sacrificed himself.
Sacrificed himself. So that his squad could live.
And what part of the story was that? Was that, like...
This was probably around the middle, maybe? Because he's the second person he meets in heaven.
So, like, what emotion was it?
I'd say this is probably guilt, because... Eddie gets mad at him. He's because he when he learns, like, oh, he shot him and he was the reason why his leg didn't work, because he got shot in the leg at like 16, 18, something like that, because he was obviously a
drafted
soldier.
Drafted.
And he was, because he was only 16, 18. Like, there's so many things that he couldn't do when he returned home, and he kept punching his captain and everything. Obviously, nothing was happening because they were in heaven, and they're both already dead. And the captain's just taking the punches. And then he learns of what the captain did and what had happened to him, and that he never got a proper funeral. His body couldn't be recovered, and you just feel guilty for what had happened. So.
I see. Yeah, another thing I'd like to add for my book being listic, the president signed off on Department of Homeland Security doing all of this. Like, he gave him the go, I'm pretty sure, if I remember that correctly. But that's just completely unrealistic to how it works, because you need to have the Congress, I think the U.S. Congress, to agree with the president in that choice, so I don't think
the president doesn't make the choices. He has to get, like, votes.
Yeah, he has to get votes.
Everyone
and
has to agree.
Everybody has to agree, and I'm pretty sure it's just the president. The book says it was just the president that helped, that agreed to doing that. Yeah.
Well, we're hitting the 14-minute mark. I think that's enough.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay, that is the end of the podcast.